Hello and welcome to Our Site as we return to our series Back to the Bible. The whole objective of this series is to give you an introduction to each book of the Bible so that your love for the Bible will increase and that you will fall in love all over again with the Word of God. And so I hope you have a Bible handy. So Galatians, we have reached Galatians in the New Testament. Turn to Galatians chapter 1 and reading from verse 1. In chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished, says Paul, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win approval, the approval of men, or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown, rather, to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I had preached among the Gentiles. But I did this privately so that those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us. I've entitled our sermon this morning, as we look at Galatians, Legalism, License, and Liberty. Legalism, License, and Liberty. Do you remember the incredibly exciting account of how the Galatian churches came into being? The details of the story are in Acts chapters 13 and 14. Paul and Barnabas had been sent on their first missionary journey by the church in Antioch in Syria. Having taken the gospel to the island of Cyprus, they set sail from Paphos to Perga in Pamphylia, and from there they went on to northwards to Pisidian Antioch, in the south of the very large province of Galatia, which stretched right up to the Black Sea. Paul preached one of his long sermons in the synagogue on the Sabbath day in Pisidian Antioch. Let's pick up that story. If you have a Bible with you, turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 42. Acts chapter 13 and verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, what happened then subsequently in the Galatian churches has happened time and again in the history of the church. A new batch of leaders came in, and as Paul puts it in Galatians 2 and verse 4, they were false brothers, they were hypocrites, who infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ and make us slaves, forcing even the Gentile and non-Jewish converts to Christ to follow the Jewish customs like circumcision. The Apostle Paul launches into them in no uncertain terms. He says a person is not justified by God by observing the laws that pertain to the Jews under the Old Covenant, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15, this is what the Apostle Paul said to them. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." A very plain, straightforward statement. By observing the law, that is the law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, no one will be justified. He follows that with two of the most powerful verses in the letter, verses 20 and 21, where he says in chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Spitting out the Greek words, he says, "Ha noioi toi Galatia, stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Stupid, he repeats it again, "foolish, having begun life in the Holy Spirit, are you now adding to the work of Christ by trying to keep obsolete rules and regulations pertaining to the Jews in the Old Covenant? Did the Mosaic laws ever work miracles among you? Says Paul. How stupid we are if we are trying to attain the goal of the Christian life by human effort. Consider our father Abraham, he says. He was declared righteous by God on the grounds of his faith, not his works. Paul goes on to show the Galatians, the law is there to show us how badly we all need to be saved. It has no power to save us. Only Christ can do that. The law is like a tutor, a schoolmaster, to lead us to the only place where salvation can be found, in Christ Jesus. The law is very bad news. It puts us under condemnation. It's like a curse, says the apostle. Here's the good news. And so if you'll turn to Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, this is what the apostle Paul says. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, dear, dear Father. So you are no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. And since you are sons and daughters, God has made you also his heirs. Paul is angry with the Judaizers. If you're so fixated on the rite of circumcision, he says, why not go all the way and castrate yourselves as well? And yet he has a deep and jealous affection for the Galatian church. Listen to his heart as he recounts the beginnings of the church. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Formerly, he says, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong, as you know. It was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God and as if I was Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Obviously, the Apostle Paul had eye problems ever since Jesus met him and he was blinded on the Damascus Road. Have I now become your enemy, he says, by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. These people who had taken over the work in the Galatian church were jealous of Paul and wanted to put him down. And so we find that Paul in his letter to the Galatians is dealing with the very same problems that we saw last Sunday when we dealt with Paul in his very sensitive personal letter to the church at Corinth. And so listen to his heart as he recounts the beginnings of that church, and says in verse 19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. The Apostle Paul likens his deep desire and anguish over these Christians in the church at Galatia who are in danger of reverting back into Judaism and all the laws that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, and all the ritual and process of the system of Judaism. Paul says to them, I feel like a mother in labor until Christ is formed in you. And then he goes on to say in chapter 1, chapter 5 and verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Verse 13 of chapter 5, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. So what's the conclusion of the matter as we look at this introduction to Paul's letter to the Galatian church? Legalism kills. It is a curse. It enslaves you, condemns you, and consigns you to a living death. Many of us in this congregation here in Fisher, Cape Town, will remember the legalism that was in vogue when we first were converted to Christ and joined an evangelical Bible-believing church. No makeup and no jewelry for the girls. Hats in church and skirts well below the knee. Elaine, my wife, was married with children before her father gave her the nod to wear a pair of slacks. Even then it had to be a slack suit. No alcohol and certainly no smoking. Well, for your information, smoking never got anyone into hell. Just makes you smell like you've been there. Legalism will make you hard, critical, judgmental, dishonest, a hypocrite. Passover, kosher food, the Sabbath, and circumcision, all the old covenant requirements, in fact, are fulfilled in Christ. The reality they all point to, says the Apostle Paul, is Christ. They were just shadows of things that were to come. Gentiles don't have to become Jews when they're Christians, and Jews become true children of Abraham when they repent of their sins, trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross, and are born again, entering into life in the Holy Spirit. It's a grace story, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not a law story, the Christian gospel. Law never saved anyone, and it never will. The danger of legalism. The opposite danger, Paul highlights, is license, thinking you have the freedom to live as you please, to indulge your fantasies, to feed your lust for self-fulfillment. That can also make you a slave, Paul says, imprison you in a never-ending cycle of self-indulgence. You entertain yourself to death, wallowing in willfulness. License that gives you the freedom to sin against God, against others, against yourself. Paul calls it the acts of the sinful nature in chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, he says. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, he says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. For the Galatians, and for you and me, dear friend, Paul has wonderful news. It's not legalism, it's not license. Both of those things will end in condemnation and death and hell. No, the good news is that in Christ there is liberty. Chapter 5, verse 1, we already quoted, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Only do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but serve one another in the love of Christ. If license is the freedom to sin, liberty is the freedom not to sin. And that is the good news that we have in Christ. Chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, the Apostle Paul says, "So I say, live by the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law." Verse 22, "The fruit that the Holy Spirit produces, the Spirit of Jesus, is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit." What a wonderful gospel this is. Liberty, the birthright of every Christian. The Apostle Paul uses two different words for walking as he closes out this particular passage. The one means like a walkabout that you can do on your own. You must walk in the Spirit. Walk allowing the Holy Spirit of Jesus to produce the fruit and life of and character of Jesus in and through you to a watching world. The other word he uses is more like marching. March in the Spirit. In other words, keep in step with the Holy Spirit and with your fellow believers. This is the only way to win the war which rages against our depraved nature. The war that the Apostle speaks of in chapter 5, the conflict between our depraved nature that we inherited from Adam and the new nature that we have as Christians in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul closes with this very strong reminder in chapter 6, verse 7 onwards. "Do not be deceived," he says. "God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his or her sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Friends, we reap what we sow. Reaping to the old nature that we've inherited from Adam will result in condemnation and death and hell. But sowing into the will and the word of God, sowing into the life and character of Jesus with the Holy Spirit's help, will reap not only abundant life now, but eternal life in glory. And so, beware of legalism and beware of license. Learn to walk in the liberty which the Holy Spirit makes possible, for that is the birthright of every true believer. Whether Jew or Gentile, when by the grace of God we repent of our sins, put our faith in Jesus Christ alone on the grounds of his death for us, when by faith we put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit brings us into the family of God as sons and daughters, as heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every blessing the Holy Spirit enables us to not only receive but to enjoy, and that is liberty. One of the greatest descriptions of freedom in the Bible is this little description in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what the Apostle calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of Jesus is in control of our lives, the result is love, joy and peace, patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, and against such things there is no law, says the Apostle Paul. So since we live by the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit's enabling, as the one who empowers us to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to make Christ known, since we live by the Spirit, he says, let us march in step with the Spirit. And let us march in step with our brothers and sisters in Jesus who are doing likewise. As we do that, Christ will be formed in us, and we will enjoy the freedom of those who are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news for the Galatians is that you don't have to be embroiled in legalism, and you don't have to be embroiled in license. God, through Christ, sets you free to enjoy the liberty of walking with the Holy Spirit's help in the center of God's will for your life and fulfilling His destiny, His purpose, for which you were created and recreated in Christ. May the Lord help us all then to keep on growing in experiential knowledge of Christ through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, to know Him more and more and to make Him more widely known. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this letter to the Galatian churches. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that the Apostle Paul was able to visit these churches in the southern province of Galatia. We thank You, dear Lord, for the way in which he was able to move from Pisidian Antioch to Iconium and then to Lystra and to Derbe, and the way in which he was used, dear Lord, not only to establish the Christian church in the province of Galatia in the middle of the first century, but thank you that he was able to write this letter that gives corrective teaching for those who could so easily otherwise slip into legalism or license. And so help us, dear Lord, to heed your word and to walk in the liberty for which Christ has set us free. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me, make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Yes, you did. Me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed Oh great God, God of highest heaven, glory.